Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If there's a culture war, the religious right has started it. The religious right has this book that they're trying to make the world follow.
Shutting down government is unbiblical. Because government has a biblical responsibility to care for the poor, they're against poor people.
God told me that we are our brother's keeper. The labor movement is our brother's keeper. So help me God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to a Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio at Gainesville State University, which providentially happens to be located in Gainesville, Georgia. It is a beautiful day. The kids are pretty much everywhere, and we might put Witness Wednesday on hold just for a few minutes, maybe. There's a fellow who's walking across the campus on the sidewalk, kind of going with the flow with everybody else, and he has a seeing eye dog. And I just thought it might be interesting to see if we could chat with this fellow to get a little bit of an inside scoop on his life and what it is like to need a seeing eye dog. And so I'm going to give that a go right now. Excuse me, young man, how do you do?
Good. Are you, how about yourself?
Good. Are you on your way to class right now?
I have to take her to the bathroom, then go back to my club.
My name's Todd.
Pleased to meet you.
Hey, nice to meet you too. How do you do? Yep. And the reason that I stopped you, I've got a microphone in my hand. We're on radio. Mm-hmm. Dude, I just want to ask you. I take it you have trouble seeing, or are you completely blind?
Yes, I'm blind.
You're completely blind. Hey, you know what? I just want to know what it's like in your world. What is it like to not have eyesight?
Well, it's different. You have to see things from a different perspective. You know, you have to depend on your other, you know, senses like hearing.
Have you ever been able to see?
Yes.
You have? How did you lose your eyesight?
I had a retinal detachment on my left eye.
I don't know. Okay, so that caused you to lose your sight?
Yeah, my left eye, and then I had a cataract on my pupil from birth on my right eye.
Really? So at what age did that happen to your left eye?
I think it was eight.
Eight years old. Yeah. So you remember seeing things.
Yes. Yeah. Which actually has helped me a lot with when it comes to traveling, because I can visualize stuff, you know? Like, when I take a left, right, I kind of start mapping it out in my head.
You got a pretty good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you see darkness, or do you just, there's just, you have no sense of light? No.
I can see light. I don't have light perception.
All right.
So like, I can tell it's daytime. That's about it.
Mm-hmm. But everything is very fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How do people treat you?
Actually pretty good.
Yeah?
Surprisingly, you know.
Yeah? Do you think that you get preferential treatment?
Sometimes, I guess.
Sometimes? That's all right. Sometimes you do. All right. And so you're 8 years old and you lose your eyesight. How did you deal with that? How did you cope?
I think my family really helped me out a lot. And I had kids, you know, friends that really, they didn't really see me any different. They helped me out a lot.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Good, because sometimes kids can be kind of cruel.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was in fourth grade. You know, I did have trouble with it. No, but I think it was third grade.
Yeah.
You know, because I used to wear big glasses, you know, and kids used to make fun of me, so I had to change school. But that was like, you know, other kids, you know, random kids.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, this dog that you got down here, he helps you.
Yeah, her name's Oasis.
Oasis.
Yeah.
Do people always want to pet her?
Sometimes.
Is that kind of a bad thing to do?
Yes, because they get distracted.
And they need to be focused on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When they're working, only when they have their harness. Now, they can get petted when they're off the harness.
So if I ever see somebody with a seeing eye dog, as tempted as I might be to pet the pooch, leave him alone.
Yep.
If he or she is working.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, dude, do you have any sort of spiritual beliefs?
I guess you could say I'm Catholic, but I'm not really
committed.
Yes.
How come?
I'm not sure. I'm just more like a basic believer, you know, be like, you know, Jesus saved me and that's pretty much it, you know.
What does that mean?
That he died for our sins, pretty much. Just basic Christianity belief.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And why did he do that?
Okay, you're asking the wrong person now.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yeah.
Are you? Have you kept the Ten Commandments?
Have I kept them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do I know them? I don't remember them off the top of my head.
All right, let's do a couple.
I've kept them.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
Okay, that'd be one of them. All right, how many lies have you told, dude?
Oh, I don't know, man.
More than one?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. What about murder? Have you ever committed murder?
No.
No. Have you ever just been really torqued with somebody, really angry at somebody?
I've been angry with someone, but That's about it.
Yeah. Unjustly angry. You know, just really mad at him because you thought they were a bonehead or a knucklehead.
Not really.
No?
No.
Pretty mellow guy?
Yeah.
All right. Do you know that Jesus said that if you look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart? Now, you've been without your eyesight for a number of years, but have you ever done that? Have you ever lusted?
I guess you could say that.
Okay. Did you ever do anything to dishonor your parents? Were you ever naughty as a child?
Probably like little stuff, you know, not listening probably when I was little, but not really.
Mm. Well, when you lied, that would be dishonoring to mom and dad, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
No.
No? Never used God's name in a low kind of way?
Mm-mm.
No, OMG, that type of stuff?
Mm-mm.
No? Okay. Has God always been the first priority in your life? Has he been number one in your life?
I have to admit, not always. So.
No?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's honest.
I'd be lying.
You'd be lying, and I'd be another one. Okay, so wouldn't that be why Jesus needed to die for our sins? Because we're sinners?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because doesn't the Bible say that we're not really good people? We're actually very bad people?
Yeah.
And we're like...
We're not perfect, really.
Yeah.
And we could try to be, but we're really not, you know?
So. I agree with you. And we fall short of his standard, which is perfection. Right?
Yes.
So if you're not perfect and you've broken God's laws and you died and he gave you justice, what do you think God would do with a guy like you or me?
You mean like, will he send me to hell?
Yeah. What do you
think? Nah, I doubt it.
Why not?
Because you know that I'm not perfect, but I'm not a bad guy either, so
well,
I'm not a bad person.
The Bible says nobody does good, no, not one.
Mm-mm.
And that our hearts are deceitful and wicked above all things. So... The question, then, is, are you right, or is the Bible right?
The Bible.
So you're not a good guy.
I guess not.
So if God gave you justice, wouldn't punishing you be more reasonable than rewarding you? It'd be sort of like a criminal in a courtroom who'd broken a lot of laws. And the criminal said, but Judge, overall, I'm a really good guy. The judge would say, well... I don't know about that, but I do know that you've broken the laws. And justice demands that you go to jail and get punished.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't God be the exact same way?
You would think it would be, but I'm not sure to answer that question.
Yeah. Yeah, because we have a tendency to compare ourselves to other people. When we think about other people, we sort of think they're pretty bad compared to me.
To us, yeah, yeah.
You know, we compare ourselves to the really bad guys, the Adolf Hitlers, and we think, well, they're really bad. I'm not that bad. And we might not be that mad, but we're still bad.
We're still sinners.
That's right.
That's one thing we probably share in common with them, so.
That's absolutely right. That's, in fact, the Bible talks about how we're actually born in sin. It's just our nature. It's what we are. It's who we inherited our sinful nature. And that's, friend, what's your first name?
Ephron.
Ephron. That's our problem. That's the situation that we're in with God, is that we've broken his laws, and because mm-hmm. he's a God of justice, he has to punish lawbreakers. His righteousness demands it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we think about it in those terms, all of a sudden we realize, wow, we are all in really big trouble here.
Yeah.
I don't have any chance of paying off my debt. I can't do anything to appease God, but God is rich in mercy. And he wants to save sinners, but he's got to uphold justice, but mm-hmm. he loves you and he wants to save you.
Mm-hmm.
And so those two things combined on the cross, where Jesus, God's son, God himself, took the punishment that you deserve for breaking God's laws.
True.
So the punishment, the wrath that you deserve from God was actually put on his son on your behalf.
And sacrifice, yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then you get his goodness. He took your sins. And you get his righteousness in exchange. Mm-hmm. That's what the gospel is about. That's why Jesus died. Not for mm-hmm. good people, but for sinners.
For sinners, yeah.
Right. Now, have you repented and put your trust in Jesus?
I think I have sometimes. I'm not sure, you know, what you mean by that.
Well, Jesus said that unless a man is born again, mm-hmm. he will not see the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
I think what Jesus was getting at is that you must die, not physically,
spiritually.
But spiritually.
Yes.
And your will has got to be surrendered. Where instead of saying, I'm a good person, God wouldn't send me to hell. Instead, we go, I'm undone. I haven't kept his laws at all. I haven't done the things that I'm supposed to do, and all the things that he tells me to do, I've broken those laws, and I deserve his punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry. Have mercy on me. You humble yourself before God.
Mm-hmm.
Cry out to him for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You put your trust in Jesus Christ, who loved you enough to die for you. And God says, when you die to yourself, he will make you alive again.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be born again. He'll give you a new heart with new desires. He'll adopt you as his child.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll go to heaven, not because of what you've done, because all you've done is earned hell, but Jesus
mm-hmm.
earned heaven for you.
Mm-hmm.
And God says that you will inherit eternal life because you will be forgiven and seen as perfect because of what Jesus did on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So, have you humbled yourself before God and cried out to him for mercy, and you know that he saved you and forgiven you?
I have to admit, not really.
All right.
I have to admit.
Jesus wants to save your soul.
Yeah.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life.
That was wrong.
Right?
Yeah.
That's good news. You
yeah.
ponder that today, okay?
Okay.
All right, man. Hey,
mm-hmm.
thanks for teaching us about
yep.
this. All right?
Thanks.
I appreciate it. All right, man.
Sure.
See ya.
Yep.
Didn't know that was going to turn into a witness encounter, but I sure am glad that it did. Pray for that young man. We will keep going on a Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate you, and we want to point you in the direction of some amazing content, which is available to you at wretched.org. You'll find full 30-minute Wretched TV episodes, full 60-minute Wretched radio episodes, our Wretched store, which contains over 40 amazing resources like Jesus Unmasked, Drive-By False Teaching, Don't Stub Your Toe, among many others, including the newly released Drive-By Biblical Counseling. It's available right now. You'll also find a ton of information on a ton of topics ranging from abortion to pneumatology to marriage to evangelism. And while you're there, don't forget about visiting the donate page and become a gospel partner, because without the support of our listeners, there would be no Wretched. It's all available to you right now, 24/7 at wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
If you lament and mourn that over 3,000 babies are terminated every day in this country because of the sin of abortion, would you please visit preborn.org/wretched? Learn about a ministry that is holistic. It preaches the gospel to mom. She gets saved, and it ends this cycle of unwed pregnancies, abortion, unwed pregnancies, abortion. The gospel puts a halt to that. And then when a mom sees an ultrasound of her child, 80% of the time she determines, that's my baby and I'm going to keep my child. That is what preborn.org is all about. And so if you mourn the wicked sin of abortion and its consequences, and I know you do, visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
People over the age of 30 typically wonder how people under the age of 18 make it through life on their own. You know, some tend to think kids have it much easier these days, and in some respects, I'll concede there may be some truth to that. But ultimately, kids today live in a much different world than a lot of us grew up in. So questions like, why is there evil in the world? Is Jesus really God? Is there really only one way to heaven? And so many others are what this generation struggles with the most. I mean, 70% of young people leave the faith when they enter college. And that's where Road Trip to Truth comes in. John Favarez hit the road to talk to kids and hear their perspectives. And he also spoke to leading experts to help shed some light on the challenges kids are facing. So get your copy of Season 1 of Road Trip to Truth right now at roadtriptotruth.org. That's roadtriptotruth.org. See for yourself the struggles this generation is facing and learn how to witness to them.
Books of the Bible. The Gospel of Matthew is an account of the life of Christ written by one of Jesus' disciples. Matthew's Gospel shows Jesus as the promised Messiah, God's anointed King and Savior. When you hear of the kingdom of heaven, Remember that there is no kingdom without a king. Only those who bow before Jesus will enter his kingdom. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's a Witness Wednesday at Gainesville State. Here's what I'm going to do, because there's not a lot of kids out here right now that are available for witnessing. I don't even know that this is a no-no. I'm going to go into the building. Again, I don't know if it is not right for us to go inside of a student center to witness. Once again, this university is paid for by you and me. Our tax dollars go to pay for places like this, just like they go to pay for sidewalks and streets. And so we can be on the sidewalks. We can be out in the parks and witness to people. We can be on the college campuses to witness to people. I don't know why we can't be in the building, other than I've always thought I've got a higher percentage, better chance of getting booted out of the place. And so that's why I usually stay outside. So let's go inside, and whether we'll find somebody to talk to or not, I'm not sure, but we might get a little sense of the type of things that are being taught to the kids. It's a little over. Whoa, it's nice in here. It's okay, I'm turning this way because I don't want the people who look like they might be in charge at the desk to actually see me. Okay, it's very nice in here. It's a student center, and here's what I'm noticing already. Messages get sent all the time. I'm in a student center at Gainesville State College. This is brand new in here. It's really spanky. It's an area where kids can buy food. And there's a, looks like a game room. There's ping pong and pool inside of that room over there. There's the cyber cafe. But in this main eating area, surrounding the outside wall, up about 20 feet in the air, is a flag from pretty much, well, I don't know that it's every nation in the world, but it's a lot of different flags. And you know what I'm not seeing, by the way? Oh, there's the American flag right there. I'm sorry. Maybe they just thought it was a nice idea, but I can't help but think that the idea behind this was to promote one world. Sorry, can't help myself. I was just at a book fair at an elementary school, and it was interesting what they had at this. Now, this, you have to remember, in Georgia, it's very conservative. This is very Bible belty here. But at this particular book fair, the types of books that they had were interesting. For instance, their history books. There was one of Abe Lincoln, and I saw three or four of John F. Kennedy. That's interesting. I couldn't help but notice, too, that there was actually a religion book. It was a book that said, religion, celebrating all faiths. And when you open up this book, now this is for elementary kids. It talked about how we all pray to God in a different way. We all have our own little traditions, but hey, we're basically all, you guessed it, the same. Huh. That's interesting. So you see all kinds of efforts by people, even in Dude, why are you dressed like that?
Because I can't.
Tell me why. Why are you dressed like that? Come here. Talk to me.
Oh,
on the radio, mate. Sit down.
Hello, sir.
All right. Describe what you're wearing, because I'm not sure that I could do it justice.
All right. All I am wearing is just like a black robe with black pants and a black shirt on underneath.
It's kind of monkey.
That's sort of like what I'm going for, more or less. But I had a friend today who was running around in leather armor. Like leather Viking armor. Mm-hmm. And we did this thing today where it's like, he's going to be like a brute force guy. I'm going to be just like in this monk looking robe thing.
Dude, you could be the brute force guy.
I could, because I'm big enough, but he's pretty cool looking. He was pretty cool.
Well, so what's the point?
The point is that I was, we were just being friends today and wanted to look medieval.
Just
like medieval costuming?
It's whimsical.
Basically, yes.
Okay. When were the Middle Ages?
The Middle Ages were, wanting to say 1580 to about 1780, something like that.
I would think that's Reformation time.
Reformation time, okay.
Do you know what the Reformation is?
Yes, that's the Renaissance, where everything kind of reformed and turned into a bit more modern society, and then our modern society spun off from that, and we have what we have today.
Well, Renaissance, I think, would be, you could say that artistically, socially, perhaps. I was thinking the Reformation, like the Protestant Reformation, would be 1500s to 1700s.
I see.
Martin Luther, John Calvin, any of those names ring a bell?
Yeah, they do.
Those guys?
Those guys do ring a bell.
Okay, so you think that's the Middle Ages?
I don't know. I'm just like, Phil, I'm sorry. I'm just like, one week.
Okay, so you seem like a pleasant fellow. There's no other thing behind it. Just you want to dress like you're in a robe, like you're in the Middle Ages.
Something like that, yes.
Is it any sort of Lent thing that you're doing? It kind of looks maybe a little Roman Catholic.
No, not really.
No.
It's just, I'm just, because I wanted to today. I woke up, I mean, like, we've been planning this all week, but I woke up, I put on the underclothes, I'm like, I'm wearing this today. Grabbed it out of the top of my closet, and here I am.
Those are your underclothes?
No, I have underclothes.
Ah, got it.
Yeah.
And then you decided to put the black over. All right, are you doing anything for Lent as long as the subject has been brought up?
No.
Are you Roman Catholic?
No, I am Christian, actually.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, okay, I claim I'm Christian, I've been saved, etc., but I basically just do everything for me. Because I want to. I don't like talking about religion.
You're a crack-up. What's your first name?
Drew. D-R-U.
Well, that seems to sort of work with the outfit.
Yes.
All right. Joe, okay, so are you one of those born-again Christians? No.
I would not say so, no.
What type of church did you go to?
It's non-denominational.
How come your cheeks literally got flush red right now when the subject of religion came up?
Well, I have different coloration, but most of the time it's just normally red, because that's how I am, but I guess when I talk about a topic that's something I don't understand, or like something that's kind of, I have to put a lot of thought into, I notice that my cheeks do get redder.
Don't play poker for a living.
No, I probably shouldn't.
I don't think it's going to work out for you.
No.
It's a bad tell, man.
Yeah, I know. It's a terrible tell. And I've learned that one the hard way, believe it or not.
Oh, by losing some money.
Not by losing some money, but, well, it wasn't a big amount of money, but...
Alrighty.
Just like a $20 thing. But
so you don't understand the faith that you claim to possess, is that right?
No, I understand how it works, and I understand how things are supposed to be. It's just, I don't do what I'm supposed to, so I can say I'm a Christian, but in reality, I really am not.
You're not living like one.
No.
That is stunningly honest.
I understand that, because most people would have claimed to have been like that, but I... No.
So
I don't
what do you
like
suppose
lying about
is
things.
What do you suppose is the disconnect?
The disconnect would be the fact that I think I should do things for me, because something like, do things for me because I feel like I'm the only one who can actually do them. That would be the disconnect.
So you want to be in control of your own life?
I do believe that there is a higher force, and I do believe that that higher force can be called God, or if it's your religion, whatever you refer to as a God, if it's different stuff. But basically, the way I can put it now, the only reason why I am saved is fire insurance.
I understand that. I did that.
Yes, but
did you have a fear of dying when you were a child?
I still do.
I had that horrible bad.
Yeah.
I had that really bad. I don't know what it was. It was very irrational. I was young, healthy, but I was just scared that if I died, I knew something bad was coming my way. I just knew it.
Actually, it's not so much fear of dying, it's fear of how I'm going to die, because I am very accident prone. Yeah.
If you died right now, what do you think's going to happen to you? Afterlife.
Well, if I was to die in afterlife right now, hang on a second.
Thanks for being polite. Because not only did I have a fear of death, I'm a huge germaphobe today. So thanks for covering up.
You're welcome. Well, I believe that one of two things is going to happen. Either I'm going to go before the higher force, preferably God, and, all of that stuff. And either he's going to say, one more.
Yeah, do what you got to do, man. Appreciate it.
He's going to say something like, okay, you've accepted me as your savior, but what have you done for me in my name? And I will not be able to answer that question. And my worst fear of that is that he's like, okay, you have two choices. You can either go back and be in purgatory, or you can go to hell. Or something like that. Golly. I'm sorry, I've had a bit of a cold all week.
Yeah. Well, don't go dying on me now.
No, I'm not going to. That would be horrible irony.
Yeah, it sure would, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Yeah, very bad radio. All right, so dude, why don't you follow this God that you claim to have been saved by? Is that the term you used?
It's not that I don't follow him. It's just I've been out of touch with him for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, dude, hold on. Hold that thought. Gotta take a short break. It's radio. We've got millions of dollars to make. This is Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, Fulani herdsmen are suspected of an attack during a Baptist worship service in Nigeria this past Sunday that wound up leaving one Christian dead, one injured, and five others abducted. The governor of Kaduna denounced the attack as an act of depraved people far removed from humanity. Fulani herdsmen are also being suspected of killing five Christians after kidnapping a total of 20 last week from Greenfield University, which is also located in Kaduna. Overall, last year, Nigeria led the world in number of kidnapped Christians and also the number of Christians that were killed for their faith. In overall violence, Nigeria trails only Pakistan and is also second only to China in the number of churches attacked or closed. And as we tell you all the time, please, please make sure you take some time to pray for our brothers and sisters abroad. So, which worldview would you guess would be the most dominant in churches in America today? If your answer is a biblical one, tragically, you would be wrong. It's actually something known as moral therapeutic deism, or MTD, and in a recently released report on American worldviews by the Culture Research Center, 74% of professing Christians have been influenced by MTD. So how does MTD differ from a biblical worldview? I could give you a list of reasons, but I'll stop with just the first one. 91% don't believe people are sinful and need salvation through Jesus. Now, I could go on. There's a whole list of these, but I'm going to stop with just this one, and I'll say that while you may profess to be a Christian, if you don't truly believe that there's a need for salvation through Jesus, you're not one. Period. Now, the Texas State Representative is making headlines for recently proclaiming that there are six sexes and not two. I must have missed that day in school. And I'd probably make a joke right here and say this guy did too, but he holds a master's from Harvard and was actually a teacher before jumping into politics. So what did he exactly say? Well, in a debate over recent legislation that would ban transgender athletes from participating in girls' sports in Texas, he says that the bill in question assumes that there are only two sexes when in fact there's six, because sex is a spectrum. I'm not even sure what that means. And I know it's a shame that this guy's in a position to make laws in Texas, but on the bright side, at least he's not in the classroom teaching our kids anymore. Maybe. And speaking of transgenderism, a former trans-identified woman who has detransitioned is pleading for young people with gender dysphoria to be treated the same as anyone else suffering from a mental illness and also be prevented from permanently altering their bodies. The 22-year-old says that she would have never considered transitioning into another sex if it weren't for the social aspects that are easily found in online communities. And not all of these young people going through this are looking for attention. Some of them, a lot of them, have serious mental health issues that should be treated with kindness and compassion. And that's why biblical counseling is so vital. The way an adult brain works is much different than that of a 15-year-old, and these children need to be counseled and not ridiculed. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Attributes of God. God is just, since he is the standard of right and wrong. every judgment he makes is right and just. He rewards good and punishes evil. The good news for sinners is that the just God offers to justify you through the atoning work of Christ, so that your sins are punished on the cross and Jesus' righteous deeds are accounted to you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Shh, don't tell anybody. I'm in the student center, and I don't know if this is illegal or not. This is Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio, having a chat with a fellow in a black robe who's dressed up like a druid, if you will. We're going to just keep on chatting with him. Okay, would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to give you a test on that. All right? This is going to be a little painful, but it might be enlightening, and it might be helpful for you like it was for me, because you and I maybe were in the very same place at one point. How many lies do you think you've told in your lifetime, Drew?
Can't answer that.
Because there's so many?
No, because I don't keep track.
But you've told lies?
Yes.
All right, specifically then, if you knew that I told lies, what name would you give me? You'd call me a... Rhymes with pants on fire.
You mean liar?
Yes, sir. Yeah? You'd be a liar like I'm a liar?
Maybe.
Okay. How many things have you stolen in your life? Whether it's downloading music, time from your boss, change from your parents' pants pocket, anything that didn't belong to you. It doesn't have to be going into a store and shoplifting. Just taking anything that wasn't yours.
Probably, I would say anywhere between 20 to 25 times.
All right.
So over 3/4 of those I got caught.
Did you?
Yeah.
So you're not a good thief?
No.
All right, but you're a thief nonetheless.
Or I would have been at a point in time, yes.
All right, right. Okay. How many times have you used your eyes to look at a human being to lust? Have thoughts in your brain that, well, you probably wouldn't want other people to know about.
Well, until I was about 13, absolutely none. Because you know how that is. But between 13 and now, probably... Yeah, that one would be uncountable, too.
All right. So you've, if you will, committed adultery in your heart. Nobody saw it.
I see where you're going with this, I think. You're saying that I claim a religion, I claim someone as my God, I claim to know, but at the same time not know, and then you're saying that sometimes things that I've done within my life that would be considered bad in the eyes of that God, it seems like can be done at any moment of any day. End of story for your entire life.
Nope, it's not where I'm going with
that's
you.
That's not where you're going?
But you're a thinking guy, and I like that. Let me tell you where I'm going with this. Two restaurants. First restaurant is in trouble and going out of business. Second restaurant is in trouble and going out of business. They have that in common. But the first restaurant has killer food. Really, really good stuff. Great service, white linen napkins, the whole shebang. Second one, really dumpy. Kitchen, and you wouldn't want to see the kitchen where the food is coming out. Now let's imagine a man who wanted to rescue those restaurants, all right? He was good and he thought, I can save those restaurants by eating there every single day, all right?
All right.
Because that way they'll get lots of money and they'll be able to pay off their creditors. Now imagine the guy who goes to the restaurant where it's linen tablecloths and great food. Now he spends a lot of money there. But he gets something pretty good in return. Now, he'd be a pretty good savior. But contrast that to the guy who goes to the restaurant where the food is fly-infested and disgusting and terrible and stale. Now, he continued to give his business to spend money there to rescue that restaurant. And really, all he got back was a stomach ache and food poisoning. Now, which guy would be a better savior?
The guy who gets something good in return, sure, he's a savior, but at the same time, he is, it seems like, expecting something back. whereas the guy who goes to the pad restaurant isn't expecting anything back, anything good out of it at all, but he's doing it anyway because he wants to save the restaurant.
That's it. Here's why I shared that anecdote with you, Drew. Christianity is about Jesus not saving the restaurant with bad food, but saving bad people. And until you get to the place where you understand you're the bad restaurant, you're the bad person, you will not esteem the sacrifice of the Savior. And I wonder if that's maybe what happened to you when you had some sort of an experience, that you didn't understand what Jesus came to do for you.
That could very easily be true, considering some of the stuff that has happened to me in my life.
Drew, when we understand that we're really bad people, that we lust, that we lie, that we dishonor our parents, we use God's name in vain, and yet He loved us so much, He came to rescue us from the judgment and the wrath that is to come. All the sins that we commit, yeah, they're against people, but primarily they're against God. And yet, instead of giving you wrath right now, He offers you mercy and kindness. Because God is just, and because He's righteous, He's keeping tabs on everything that you do. Everything you think, He's got it recorded. Everything you do and fail to do, every time you've eaten a meal and you didn't say, "Thank you, God, for providing for me," every time you didn't do what was right, He knows it. And He's going to give you what you've earned. But He's rich in mercy. And He, despite us, loves us and wants to save us. But here's the dilemma. Here's the tension. God's righteous. He's got to punish you. But He loves you and He wants to forgive you. But if He forgives you, that wouldn't be loving and it wouldn't be just. So instead, He sent His Son, Jesus, who's God Himself, to take the wrath that you deserve when He was beaten and put on the cross and crucified and killed. That's what should happen to you forever. But instead, Jesus did that for you so that you could be seen as not guilty, so that righteousness and mercy could commingle and mercy could win at the cross. That is what Jesus did for you, a sinner. And until you realize how bad you are, that He would come to save a wretch like you, you don't understand who Jesus is and what He's done. It starts out by knowing you, and then when you understand what He's done for you, then you go, you know what? I want to follow Him. I don't want to keep the rules to earn His favor. I want to keep the rules because He gave me favor through Jesus. It's radically different. It's not about keeping rules because you have to earn heaven. You're obedient because you just want to, because He's done everything for you. That's the good news of the gospel. That's Christianity.
Thank you for the reality check. It's been a very long time since I've heard somebody actually outright say those words to me. Maybe I should try a little bit harder.
Try what a little harder?
Try to get to know God and Jesus a little bit better.
But I want you to understand something, okay? A lot of people get confused inside of Christianity.
I do understand that, because I am one of those people. It's back and forth, back and forth. But there's no back and forth about it. It's either you do or you don't. End of story.
No. He's either God.
Yes.
And either you're a sinner or you're not. Yep. And either Jesus came to save you or He didn't.
That's true.
So if it's true, then you need to determine what you're going to do with that. Am I going to reject this amazing offer of kindness? Or am I going to humble myself, throw myself at His feet for mercy, and be in a right relationship with the most loving, kind thing in the universe? So there you have it, dude. Please ponder this today.
I sure.
And please note this, too. The gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, forgives you of all of your sins, all of them. Your past, the sins that you're maybe even thinking right now, and any sin that you'd commit in the future, forgiven, completely nailed to the tree. And there is nothing you can ever do to get them forgiven. Jesus did it all. Jesus paid it all. Everything completely done. It's called Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You can't do anything to earn his favor. All you've done is earn his wrath. Jesus earned favor for you. And it should cause you to love that Jesus more than anything in the world, because nobody has loved you more than him. Make sense?
Yes, sir, it does.
That way, you never try to earn your way to heaven, but you live in joyful response because heaven has been earned for you. To cause you to click your heels, you should never the rest of your life have to go, I wonder if God's mad at me today. When you repent, turn from your sins, and put your trust in Jesus, God will never cast you out, ever. You will be his child because of what Jesus did for you. He's immutable, is the theological term. He doesn't change. And he will not change his mind about you. But you have to change your mind about him. Okay?
I understand.
Drew.
Thank you, sir.
It was a joy to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
All right, man. You have a great day, right?
Yes, I will.
See ya. Goodbye. It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio.
844-34-BIBLE. 844-34-BIBLE. You say Friel. Usually the phone number goes at the end of a commercial. I'm putting it at the beginning because I would like to strongly encourage you to call 844-34-BIBLE. A very nice person, representative at MediShare, will answer your call and share with you what might be an alternative to your traditional health insurance that's driving you bonkers right now. The average family saves, give or take, $500 per month right now, waiving the initiation fee, an additional $170. Within 2 minutes, they will tell you what you will be saving every month by signing up with MediShare, Affordable Biblical Health Sharing. 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Did you know Wretched has a new Bible study curriculum? That's right, and it's not the same old boring Bible study curriculum that you may be used to seeing. The Wretched Bible study curriculum is interesting. It's relevant. And of course, if it comes from Wretched, you already know it's biblical. These Bible studies are based on our resources, Drive by Marriage, Drive by Parenting, Drive by Theology, Jesus Unmasked, Stressed Out, Herman Who, and others. They're perfect for any youth group, adult small group, or even your own personal Bible study. You'll find that a Wretched Bible study will help you grow by taking you deeper into the Word than most Sunday school curriculums. And don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself by visiting wretched.org/study and picking up one of our new Wretched Bible studies. wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study. Remember, they're interesting, relevant, and of course, always biblical.
No doubt you have heard one of the dire predictions of the effects of coronavirus shutdowns in Eastern Europe and poor nations around the globe. Unfortunately, those predictions, they're a reality.
Even before the coronavirus storm, life was hard for the kids and families that Tomorrow Club serve. We work in forsaken communities where unemployment is high, wages are low, and alcoholism is rampant.
And it is even worse now in all of the Eastern European countries. Nevertheless, Tomorrow Club's day after day, bringing the gospel to kids in poor Eastern European villages to bring hope and help. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? Perhaps now more than ever. $30 per month, you'll be discipling 30 little kids in Eastern Europe. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is the analogy of Scripture. If God is consistent and the Bible is God's Word, then the Bible is consistent. We can then use Scripture to interpret Scripture, understanding less clear verses in light of clear verses.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are at Gainesville State University, Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. Right now I'm sitting here with Anna. Is that correct, Anna?
Yes.
And you're willing to let me talk to you on the radio, right?
Yes.
All right. And you said something interesting. You've got a Bible there, and you said you wanted to maybe learn how to share your faith better.
Right.
All right? So here's what we'll do. I'm gonna try to witness to you. As if you are an unregenerate heathen, I'm going to try to witness to you, and you tell me if you think that this is a good approach. All right? Okay. Now, before I embark on that, here's the question. You want to witness and share the gospel with somebody, right?
Right.
Specifically, what is the gospel? What is the good news?
The good news is Christ is alive.
Okay. And why is that good news?
Because it means we're forgiven and we're not separated from God anymore.
All right, so right on. The key issue is forgiveness of sins. Okay. If somebody doesn't have their sins forgiven, what's going to happen to them when they die?
They're separated from God forever in hell.
Yeah, yeah. Bad place.
Yeah.
Where they get punished for their sins, right?
Right.
So keeping that in mind, the issue is forgiveness of sins, because sometimes as evangelicals, we make the gospel a little something else. For instance, maybe you've heard this. You've tried sex, drugs, rock and roll. You've got a big house, but you still have a God-shaped hole in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus will fill that hole. So people go, oh, you know what? I have been feeling that way. So they ask Jesus into their heart in kind of an experimental fashion. You know, they try it to see if maybe this is the drug that they need to ease their conscience or their pain. But they don't come to Jesus because he's a good God who died to save them from the wrath that is to come.
Right.
So when we keep that in view, it helps us to focus in a witness encounter. Sometimes people will say, are you sick? Do you need healing? Jesus will heal your physical ailments. And so somebody who's been in a wheelchair or they've had chronic pain, they go, okay, I'll come to Jesus. And they come seeking gifts, but they don't come seeking the giver of every good thing.
Right.
So we want to make sure that as we share the gospel, we're laser-like in making the issue about forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm.
And a good way to do that is to use the law of God, the Ten Commandments. Paul said in Galatians 3 that the law is a schoolmaster. It's like a tutor that you would have here on campus to bring you to the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
How do we use the law to teach people they need a Savior? I think Paul demonstrated it in Romans 2. Jesus demonstrated it in Luke chapter 18 with the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler came up and said, good teacher, what must I do to be saved? Now, we might be inclined to say, well, ask me into your heart, and you're good to go. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus used the law to help the rich young ruler understand he was not worthy of heaven. And so he walked him through the laws of God, the Ten Commandments. So if I were going to witness to you, I would say, have you kept the Ten Commandments? What would you say?
No.
No. So you've lied?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Have you stolen something?
Yes.
Mm. Have you ever been angry at somebody, unjustly called them bad names, thought they were idiots because of the way they drive?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the rest of us. And Jesus warned that you're in danger of judgment because we're murderers at heart when we're just towards somebody.
Right.
So now here's our situation. We're all liars. We're all thieves. We're all murderers at heart. We die. We face God on Judgment Day. God is good, and he's holy, and he's just, and he hates sin very much. What should he do with a guilty criminal like you who's a sinner? Should he take you to heaven, or should he send you to hell?
Probably send me to hell.
Yeah.
Can't have a mangy dog in your house.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Exactly correct. Now, what has God done so that the mangy dogs don't need to go to hell? What has God done to rescue the dogs?
Well, he's sent his son to clean him up and wash him clean.
And to take the wrath of God that's aimed at the mangy dogs for biting the hands of the master and being disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Jesus Christ, if you will, became the mangy dog who deserves the beating from the master, and he took the beating for us.
Yeah.
So that the wrath that you should receive, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself, took the wrath on your behalf. Because despite the fact that we are mangy dogs, he loves us anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so forgiveness of sins is available because of the goodness of Jesus Christ being punished for your sins and keeping all the commandments that you and I, the mangy dogs, have broken. But now, Here's the thing, Hannah. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is available. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to have Jesus' goodness credited to my account, to have the wrath of God placed on him instead of me? What must I do?
Well, I've been taught to say, ask Jesus into your heart, repeat a prayer after me. But I think there's a lot more to it than that. That seems just kind of like, okay, yay, I said the prayer, now what?
Yeah.
So I don't know, I'm a little bit at a loss for what else to say.
I think you're right in thinking, wow, that seems odd. I asked Jesus into my heart. It just doesn't, that doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. The response to this good news is to turn from your sins, not to become perfect, but to hate the things that were dirty, that made you a mangy dog, to turn from them, say you're sorry, to call out to God for mercy, just like any penitent person would who's offended somebody. And you turn from your sins and you put your trust in Jesus Christ. And he promises when you do that, you'll be forgiven of all of your sins and God will grant you everlasting life. And he'll change you from a mangy dog and he'll turn you into the image of his son. And you'll inherit eternal life because God is that good. Mm-hmm. Now, two thoughts for you. I did not accuse you of being a sinner. Did you notice? I didn't go, you're a liar, you're a thief, you're a blasphemer. I simply asked you questions. Mm-hmm. So to help the sinner understand their need for sin, you can draw their confession of guilt out by simply asking questions. Not by angrily shouting, you're going to hell, but to make hell reasonable by opening up the law of God so they can see it like a mirror that they look at and go, wow, I'm dirty, I'm unclean. Mm-hmm. And then they see that they can be cleansed because of the living water, Jesus Christ.
Right.
And this is crucial too, okay? I don't know if maybe you're experiencing this in your own heart. The reason that you should repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ is not simply to escape the wrath of God. This is important. He poured out justice on himself so that justice could be satisfied. And we should turn from our wicked ways and flee to him, not because we're scared of hell, but because he has been so kind to save us from hell. Romans 2, it's the kindness of God that leads us to salvation. We should want to turn from our sins because we see them for what they are, and we see him for the amazing thing that he is, our God and our Savior. And we flee to him because we now want him more than we wanted our sins.
Right.
So it's really important that we examine our motive to make sure that we don't just come looking for the gifts. We don't come just looking to escape hell. We come looking to the giver, to the rescuer, because he is better than anything else in the world. Jesus is better than anything.
Amen.
So there you go. There's my little presentation to you.
Okay.
You're the teacher. What grade do I get?
I'd say you get an A.
Really?
Yeah. That was really good. Thank you.
Okay. Now you've repented and put your trust in Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is key too. Mm-hmm. All right? And this is sometimes what people forget about the gospel. We hear that good news and we go, wow, God will save a mangy dog. Okay, I repented. I put my trust in Jesus. I don't need the gospel anymore. Mm-hmm. And sometimes then we spend our days trying to do things to stay saved. And we have motives that suggest that we aren't remembering the gospel. You haven't been reading your Bible as much as you should this week, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, if you've been sinning by neglecting God's word, you confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The end. Don't think, okay, well, I forgot to read it last Tuesday, so I'm going to read it twice as much on Wednesday to make up for it so that God's not mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
That's wrong. Okay? That's false motive. Because your relationship is then established on your performance when it needs to be based on Jesus' performance. We want our motivation to be grace. You realize, I didn't read my Bible like I should. You confess it to God and you realize, wow, he's forgiven me of everything. Now I want to read the Bible more. Do you hear the difference?
Right.
Here's the reality. We fail constantly. We're just nothing but failures all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
But he's forgiven us anyway.
Yeah.
We don't abuse grace then and go, oh, whoop-de-doo, now I can sin all that I want.
Mm-hmm.
Just the opposite effect happens. Knowing that you've been forgiven of your sins causes you to desire not to sin. And on the day, Anna, when you wake up and you go, you know, I did so good yesterday. Uh-oh, you've forgotten the gospel. Because you know what? You didn't.
Yeah.
You read your Bible, but you should have read it more, and you should have witnessed more. Because you're not perfect, you fall short. Every day, don't forget the gospel. When you think you're doing good, you're not. When you're doing bad, you're not so bad that you're not forgiven.
Right.
And that'll get you to want to take those classes that you were telling me about and be a disciple and chase after him. Not because, oh boy, that's going to keep me in, but because I am in. Make sense?
Right, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
All right.
And you're right. It is so freeing. It's so liberating. And so just hallelujah. Praise God. He's good.
Amen. Hey, pleasure to meet you. All right. Yeah. Hey, thanks for the chat.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, see you. We are at Gainesville State University. It's Witness Wednesday. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.